Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus told them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." You may be seated. You know, it's quite something, because apart from faith, the Lord's prediction of his death and resurrection, it seems outlandish at best, maybe just downright ridiculous or foolish at worst. I mean, think about it. Who knows what is going to happen to him and such terrible things, and then goes right along headlong into it, or riding into it as we think about Palm Sunday? Who does that? Well, Jesus does, and he did. But you see, the reason why he did it was to redeem you, and he has done it. It is finished. So you do hear those words today in faith. You know your Lord. You know what he's done. You know exactly what all of this means. You're on this side of Holy Week and Easter. So Lent starts on Wednesday, and you know what all happens. Jesus is telling the disciples he is going to suffer, he is going to die, he is going to rise from the dead. And this isn't the only time Jesus has done this in the Gospels. He does it on numerous occasions. Even 3 weeks ago, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah were speaking with the Lord, one of the gospel writers tells us that they were talking about his departure, how all of these things must occur. And not only that, but you know this purpose as well. The word Jesus used, which the ESV translates as accomplished in our text today, is related to the word Jesus cried out on the cross in John's gospel, "It is finished." So this life, this suffering, this death of Jesus is your redemption. And his resurrection is your justification. Jesus was telling the disciples in these words what would be the cost of your and their salvation. So taking all of this in, listening to this then now, and knowing what this means, we see something else in all of this, which is revealed to you in the second part of the reading with the blind man. So listen again to those words and to that miracle which occurred. As Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So here's this blind man then. But what did he do? Well, he believed in Christ. And he shows you what faith looks like as he clings to the promises of Jesus, and Jesus healed him. So his words are words of praise. They call upon God's mercy. He teaches you how you know God and you look for him to act in Christ. And how is that? You see that God is merciful to you. It's no wonder in the services of the church throughout history, in the church's liturgies, rites, there are almost always some form of the Kyrie, where God's people say or usually sing, "Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy." We just sang a few minutes ago Luther's hymn setting of that, right? Kyrie and then eleison at the end, "Have mercy, have mercy." And really there's a whole theology of worship, whole theology of prayer right there in those words. The highest worship is to receive the forgiveness of sins. It flips everything on its head. It sees who we are and who God is. He shows mercy. And this is all grounded then and so near and dear to you, as here you are sitting in this very instant in this place, and you have all that God has done for you in Christ. And there's this confidence and trust of faith the blind man shows and what the Lord has given to you as well. You know, this Sunday of the church year, each one of these Sundays deals with one of the different solas. We had grace alone, scripture alone, or word alone last week, and today is faith alone, sola fide. And anytime we start thinking about faith, the tempting thing that our old Adam wants to do is to twist it, pervert it, or somehow obscure Christ in the gospel in some way. Even about faith. Because it's tempting when it comes to faith to want to locate it in yourselves, rather than seeing as the instrument which receives Christ and has his salvation. This is perhaps even one of the greatest dangers for you when you see so much of what you see and hear regarding faith. And it often does sound pious, but it redirects faith to where you don't have the promises of God given to you. An easy way, or general rule of thumb, when you're talking about faith, is to ask yourself, what are you being directed for, or to where are you being directed for your faith? Or how is faith being spoken of and about? Because if faith is wanting you to try to trust in your own faith for its own sake, faith for faith's sake, right? Be careful, lest you go down the dark road of despair when the day comes and your faith is wanting. And two, faith isn't some abstract notion, contrary to George Michael, that you just gotta have faith. It's always as an object. Faith is a real thing with a real object. So this blind man then, he's looking, he's seeing, what? Jesus. Because he knows he is the only one who can show him mercy. And he cries out to the object of his faith. Also, don't ascend to the heavens, but look to Christ crucified, and behold your redemption. Now, this isn't some exercise in academic theology, but gets to the point of what you see in this blind man. So here's Jesus was right in front of him, even if he couldn't physically see him. He was told Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and he knew who Jesus is. So he cried out to him who was there, close enough to be touched and for him to physically come and heal him. He called upon God to show him mercy, which is to say he praised God. And seeing all of this today in your God-given faith, you see what was necessary for Jesus to do. You see what he did willingly, all for your sake. You see that his life in perfect obedience to the law of God is counted to you. You see that the mocking he would endure, the suffering that he would undergo is for your benefit. You see that death on the cross is the atonement for your sin, and see that your sin is forgiven, God's wrath has been satisfied, and now you have peace with God because his blood has been shed on your behalf. And you see the glorious resurrection from the dead as the proclamation that all has been fulfilled, all has been accomplished, and that you too, even as Jesus is risen from the dead, you too will rise from your grave. So see from the blind man, or you are to look here and now, with all of this having been done. And at the end of the gospel reading today, St. Luke recorded, "And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God." I heard a pastor a couple years ago commenting on this, and I think he's onto something. I think he's right. His point was, I don't think you have to wonder what that looked like and sounded like on that day. What are their praises that they're saying? The people heard this praise a few times earlier when the man called out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So hearing and seeing this Lord heal the blind man who now physically sees, although he was indeed blind prior to this, still, they see, they can join in that same praise. And what is that praise? What's the praise that we have? Lord, have mercy on us. It's the same thing as you gather around God's word and sacraments this morning, as you go through this life until the Lord calls you to himself and raises your body on the last day. Because Jesus is not just passing by. You're not just some stop on the exit. He's here. He comes with healing. You call out and praise to your Lord and know who he is and what he does in Christ. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And there's a persistence in faith, too, that should be the same. Because you always are to be examining, looking at your life, looking to whom do I fear, love, and trust in above all things. It's an uncomfortable thing to think about, but something that must be asked. What do I believe? Do I really believe Jesus and take him at his word? Faith in Christ has been given to you by the Holy Spirit, worked through the means of grace. So when Jesus teaches you then about your sin and its consequences, do you persist in your sin? Or do you persist in trusting Jesus by repenting of your sin and clinging to Jesus for forgiveness? When Jesus tells you that you must abide in him, that blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, and that he is found and promises to be where his word is preached and the sacraments are administered, are you persistent in going to receive these gifts as often as possible? If you actually believe Jesus, do you want what he gives and promises, or do you simply just want to have faith? So when you talk about the Christian faith, when you confess it to others, do you just merely talk about my faith, or do you speak and talk about the object of your faith, Jesus? Martin Luther's last words were found written in his pocket and are translated as, "We are all beggars, this is true." So what is telling then for our lives in Christ, just as we see with this blind man? You are beggars who, because of your sin, stand outside of the kingdom of God. It's only because of what Christ has done is there a place for you, and only because of your God-given faith worked by the Holy Spirit do you have those benefits of what Jesus has accomplished. So today, to see faith in terms of begging is how you go through your life as a Christian. You cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." And there's no one, there's no thing going to stand in your way from Jesus and what he gives. And the amazing thing in all of this, too, is that there's a great confidence in this weakness. There's confidence and strength in being a beggar. This blind man's faith was great because it looked out totally outside of himself, looking to Jesus. So as he begged blindly on the side of the road, he was completely looking to Jesus, who he is and what he does. Even as those around him tried to silence him, "Don't bother this guy, Jesus. Just stop your calling out." He saw Jesus by faith and saw him as the one who healed him then with his own two eyes. What Jesus has done for you is that he has redeemed you and he has called you his own in the waters of your holy baptism. Your Lord has healed you. And you behold Jesus by faith, and the day is coming when you will see him face to face with your own eyes. As you go through this life, cling to him for mercy always and know that you have what he says. Have that confidence and know that Jesus is yours, casting all your sin and burdens on him whose yoke is easy and burden is light. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, your God loves you and he has shown you mercy. Your Lord knew what he must do when he said, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon, and after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." He knew what he must endure, but he did it, because the purpose for doing it was all for you. So have confidence today and see what your Lord has done and still does, even as he is here for you now. Rejoice with this blind man. Sing praises to the Lord who is near. Your faith, trust in Christ as you are baptized into him, as you are listening to his word, as you take into your mouths the very body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you. So listen and taste and see the Lord is good, and how lovely is his dwelling place on this side of the grave. And yes, with those eyes of faith, look forward to that day as well. That day when your faith will end. And on that day, you will see the Lord face to face with your own two eyes, no longer stained by sin and all that it entails. And that will be a glorious day indeed, to be before the Lamb on his throne, and you will join with all the saints in the unending hymn of glory that will not fade away. That is what you have. That is what awaits you as you look here and now and know Jesus has done it, as he is here at this font, pulpit, and lectern, and altar, as you cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." Fix your eyes on Christ crucified for you. Cling to those promises that he is yours and he has saved you by his blood. Cry out at all times, knowing that he hears and answers you and will never forsake you. And look with him toward Jerusalem as Lent approaches, hearing and seeing your redemption accomplished by the one who stopped along the way to heal a blind man. And hear and understand this was all done for you. And go, for your faith has made you well. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.